published in the Atlantic City Press newspaper and in the Beacon newspaper on January 9th. This notice was given to the municipal clerk and posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building and on the township website. If I guess we can do black blue.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first course of business we have to do is the oaths of office to swear in the new members so that the board can act and you have sitting members. We can do this individually or we can do it in one joint swearing in. Is there a preference to the board?
Do it all together.
All right. Class one is Mayor Rick Adams. Class three is Jane Allen. Carrie Crowley, class four. Barbara Dillon, class four. John Ewart, class four. Melinda Fritz, class four. James McGettigan, class four. Robert Neuweiler, class four. Cindy Rufo, class four. And Robert Steele, class four. And some of them may be alternates. We'll correct that. If you would all stand and raise your right hand. I state your name.
I Robert Neuweiler.
You solemnly swear.
You solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And they bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And in the state.
And in the state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
And I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
Perform all the duties.
Perform all the duties.
Of the office.
Of the office.
Of planning board, zoning board member.
Of the zoning board member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God. Congratulations. Okay, the first thing we need to do is have nominations to appoint a board chair, and then the board chair will take over conducting the meeting. Do we have a nomination?
I nominate Cindy Rufo.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Any other nominations? Okay, there being none, do we have a roll call?
Sure. Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Ms. Allen?
Yes.
Ms. Rufo?
Yes.
Mr. Neuweiler?
Yes.
Mr. Steele?
Yes.
Ms. Sterlish?
Yes.
Mr. McGettigan?
Yes.
Mr. Dillon?
Mrs. Dillon.
Excuse me. I am so sorry. I
get offended.
Ms. Dillon? I don't know who Ms. Dillon is.
In the corner, right here in front.
Yeah. And Ms. Fritz?
Yes.
Mr. Ewart?
Yeah. Well, we can't have the alternates voting on.
Yeah, we don't need the bottom two.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. So that's, I pass the torch. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chair.
Sorry. Thank you. Next, we need a motion to nominate vice chair. I'd like to nominate Mr. Neuweiler.
Yes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Ms. Allen?
Yes.
Ms. Rufo?
Yes.
Mr. Neuweiler?
Yes.
Mr. Steele?
Yes.
Ms. Turlish?
Yes.
Mr. McGettigan?
Yes.
Ms. Dillon?
Yes.
Ms. Fritz?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we have a record of the attendance and a roll call for that, please, for everyone?
Sure. Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Ms. Allen?
Yes.
Ms. Rufo?
Yes.
Mr. Neuweiler?
Here.
Mr. Steele?
Yes.
Ms. Turlish?
Yes.
Mr. McGettigan?
Yes.
Ms. Dillon?
Yes.
Ms. Fritz?
Yes.
Mr. Ewart?
Yes.
Ms. Crowley?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we have resolutions for the memorialization consent agenda. The items listed below are considered routine by the Land Use Planning Board and will be enacted by one motion. So the first one is to appoint the Planning Board attorney. The second one is to appoint the Planning Board engineer. The third is the appointment of the Planning Board administrator, recording secretary. The fourth one is the designation of official newspapers. The fifth one is the setting annual Planning Board meeting schedule. And the sixth one is the OPMA public comment during Planning Board meetings. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Kurt Steele. Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Ms. Allen?
Yes.
Ms. Rufo?
Yes.
Mr. Neuweiler?
Yes.
Mr. Steele?
Yes.
Ms. Turlish?
Yes.
Mr. McGettigan?
Yes.
Ms. Dillon?
Yes.
Ms. Fritz?
Yes.
Stop right there.
Thank you.
Minutes submitted for approval. The minutes of the meeting from the December 18th, 2024 were taken by Laura Moyer. Were there any corrections or additions to the minutes that anybody saw?
Yes.
Stacy?
On my second page, the eighth paragraph down, I'm assuming that's supposed to be a year.
202? Yes. The year 202?
Yes.
Should it be 222 or 212?
Yeah, I questioned her on that, and she sent me back a thing that said that it was 2020. Sorry. I thought she corrected it. Okay. Are there any other corrections or additions? If not, we need a motion to approve the minutes with the adjustment.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think that Ricky, was that you?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We have no applications, but we do have... Oh, before we start that part, let me just remind you that... Please speak with a clear, a strong voice and tell us your name and address when you're speaking. But before we get to there, we have a Mr. I'm going to screw up your last name.
Kowalik.
He's a dealer principal of Silverton Motors, and he is interested in Block 7, Lot 29, and Block 7, Lot 30, which is the corner property opposite us. Mr. Kowalik?
Thank you. First, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to come and speak about the owner of the property. I'll give you a little bit of background about myself. I'm a CPA by trade. I've been working in tax accounting and real estate, as well as doing bookkeeping and taxes and so on and so forth related to the car industry. My name is Kevin Kowalik. I'm a CPA by trade, and I have a dealership located in Toms River, Silverton Motors. I was exploring the area, and I saw this property over here, 566 Route 9, and I think it would be a good spot to do rehabilitation and restoration and use it for automotive use. I have attached a little top-level diagram of basically having service and auto body on the existing shed, and then office and upstairs apartment in the front, and then retail and customer parking in a vacant lot. And I'd like to know how the board feels about that before putting in the zoning application.
Is this right?
Yes.
Can we speak?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Bert, first, the only caution I want to give the board is this: don't just you can provide general concept comments about the application, but not give any indication of how you would vote on the application when it's here, because that's
but we can ask
that
questions.
Can be granted. You can ask questions. You can certainly say we would consider it. That sort of thing, but no straw poll on the outcome.
Would you need egress from the alley in regards to either coming in from Route 9?
Possibly.
Yep. I know.
Yes.
Is that how you're going to come in?
From the driveway.
Or are you going to come yourself?
No, from Route 9 in between the two buildings. Well,
that's right. So you need county.
Yep.
State.
Okay. Oh, now, are you planning on painting there?
Painting?
Cars?
No, it would be limited auto body.
Without painting?
There would be no painting, because that's full auto body. Full auto body, you have to have it painted installed. It would be harsh, limited auto body.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, because to do a full auto body, you have to have an oven with baking and all of that, and that's it wouldn't fit in that space, and it wouldn't work in that space with the capital. You'd have to build a whole complex.
How many cars would you be looking at having at any given time?
It would be, depending on the service, because it would be mostly mechanic and auto body, and then rehabbing those cars and buying and selling cars for the community. So it would be, a front area there. I don't have a specific number, but it would be mainly focused on using the auto body and service, and then having also the ability to do retail sales and also buying for the community.
Are you tearing down Frank's?
No, it would be to rehab that building. So the building in the front would be an office on the first floor, and then keep the existing apartment, and then the shed would be converted into the service center and auto body.
Shed was actually a check-in.
Yes, I took
a lot of them in town.
You mentioned there's an apartment. That would be like a second principal use, like a residential use?
Yes, because there's an apartment on the second floor.
That's okay. Where Frank used to live.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the downstairs. Frank was upstairs.
Okay. So if I can ask Frank, our engineer. Yeah. First of all, Frank, before we do that, I'm going to swear you in for the calendar year 2025. You as the township engineer, or as the, I should say, the planning board engineer for the township of Bass River, you swear or affirm the testimony you give this year is the true self you got.
I do.
Okay.
That was easy.
Frank, do you have any input as far as what the zone allows, what type of relief they would have to apply for?
It's in the village commercial, right? It's right on this corner.
Yes, yeah, it's right up the block on Maple.
So, automobile filling stations, auto repair garages, vehicle body shops are permitted, so I would interpret that as allowing automotive sales also in that zone. So obviously, you would need to come here to this board to request a site plan approval, a full plan survey, showing us what you're going to do. We're going to park your cars, and then you would also be getting, depending on your access to Route 9 or the side road is going to the county planning board as well as possible to the Department of Transportation. Having a driveway on Route 9.
What about the residential apartment? Does that muddy the waters at all?
We allow single family dwellings in that zone. So I think the mixed use.
Mixed use is okay?
I think mixed use would be okay.
Is there any limitation on second principal use in the ordinance?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Are you going to go all the way to Maple Avenue?
Yeah.
All the way, so it encompasses the corner.
It encompasses the corner, correct. It's a separate lot, but it's a vacant lot. But there's both lots of, yes.
And you're the other, right.
Yes.
Did you understand the water problem that's over there?
Yes, I know there's a septic issue.
Cesspool.
And correct, yes. So.
And when it floods, there's like a foot of water back there in that garage, or where that?
Yes.
So if you want to fill that, you're going to push the water back on somebody else?
Well, the issue is also, too, because we're doing preliminary work on just getting a survey because there was no survey available, and there is an old septic tank in there that has been shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the issue as well, and then there's a well in there as well that has been shot as well.
Well, it's going to have to be capped.
So part of the our exploration of these engines would be to fix and remediate those issues.
And that's an outside agency approval with the Burlington County Health Department anyway. So.
Okay. So what size is that lot?
The lot is, it goes back 300 feet, and it's about 40 feet wide. I think it's a third of an acre.
You need a 1 acre lot in the village commercial zone. So that would be a variance.
That's a bulk variance.
A bulk variance as part of the submission. It's an undersized lot.
And the building would be taken out of that square footage, wouldn't it?
Well, no. I mean, this is for the lot area, minimum.
But in regards to...
You would deduct the building, but you have to look at the building setbacks to see if the building setbacks conform. If they don't, and you're renovating it, it's somewhat of a pre-existing condition, but because you're expanding it, again, you probably need a bulk variance for whatever exists there that's non-conforming. That will all be in your application as part of the site plan.
So what you're looking to do, since you got your pen out, you got to file for preliminary and final major site plan with bulk variances.
And Natalie, you have an application package online for planning
board? Yes, there is. Okay. I will send it to you.
All right, so you can get an application package and you can get a zoning schedule, and you're going to need an engineer, obviously.
Yes.
Together and all the permits. Yes. All right?
Okay.
Good luck. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay, before we go, sorry.
Yeah, they're probably going to need a filing certificate of filing because they're in the filing. They're west of
the parkway.
West of the parkway. So
do you understand what that means? You got to get a certificate of filing from Pineland before this board can even hear the update.
Right. Okay.
That's a free step.
Okay, let's go to old business before we open it up to the public. The cannabis regulatory. Last time we started deciding where, the mayor has handed out some maps as to where we wanted to put where we would allow a dispensary to be put. Does the board have any?
I have some comment on that. We're a farming community and we're allowed to. Everybody's allowed to have a garden and grow vegetables and what have you. And with the way that the marijuana rule is, I don't have any problem with people growing, doing agricultural work. I do not think we need a dispensary. I wouldn't mind if there was a facility for processing. So the first two options of the farming and the processing, but because there's so little space, and I don't want to draw any more traffic than we can, and it would both those portions of the business would have a positive impact on the community, without the negative impact of extra traffic.
First, they have to be licensed through the state.
Oh yeah, all that's all. Yeah,
and it's not a greenhouse; it's a grow house, and it's a building without windows. I did a building seminar not more than 2 years ago on this.
That's great.
I know the whole thing.
Good.
Okay.
Well, I know we already have them here. All right.
I know that. I wasn't here then.
Yeah. Okay. The portion we're talking about here is retail, and there's plenty of retail places up in Tucker.
Where town?
Well, Tucker and the other side of the river. I don't play that far side.
Good for you. They don't come this far up.
Yes, that's it. Either way.
I have to agree with Bob on that.
Okay.
As far as the retail.
Don't we have zoning on this? No. How many can be in the town?
I believe it. And nobody put in for retail, so his discussion was we don't feel we should have retail, and I go along with Bob's decision.
I'm in that boat.
I would
like to see retail.
Well,
The dispensary. You're talking about a retail dispensary.
It's a I agree with Mr. Newbar that also distribution is automatically permitted. Anywhere in the state you can distribute.
You would definitely have to be
and that.
Hold on.
Wait. One person at a time, please.
I agree with Mr. Neuweiler because distribution is permitted in any municipality. It doesn't require separate license. There is an ability to obtain it and distribute it already throughout the municipality. And it's definitely an interesting use. So I would tend to agree with Mr. Neuweiler's comment.
John?
No, I took a building seminar. I know what they are.
No, we're talking about the retail, not the building thing. So.
Retail, I said, I don't go along with retail in town. Right?
Okay.
But actually, they start out as marijuana, medical,
mm-hmm.
Is that what I want to say? And then once they start that business, then they go into retail. That's what happened in Wareham. I did all those building inspections on that building in Wareham.
And I would like to add with what Bob's saying, you have a building for retail, okay? And what goes on in the parking lot, okay, is as much business that goes on inside the building. And we don't have what you would call policing in Bass River.
They don't have any.
Okay, so in saying all that,
other at the bottom of the bridge, there's the.
Well, yeah, that's the headquarters.
That's it. That's the training.
Well, if I may, because I prepared the cannabis ordinance. There's six classes of cannabis use. Class one is a cultivation grow use. Class one is cultivation grow. Class two is manufacturing and processing. That's something you should have some discussion about because that's where you can have issues with odor and the processing and whatnot, where it's converted from raw cannabis into something for retail sale. Class three is wholesale, which class one and three kind of go together. If you're growing it, you're going to want to wholesale it out to companies that will process it. Class four is transportation, shipping it. Class five is the retail dispensaries, and class six is the delivery service licensure. So those are the different classes of cannabis.
Class five would be actually commercial. If you're right.
That's the retail.
Yeah, that's the retail. That would be commercial.
Mm-hmm. Class four is cannabis transportation, right?
Yes.
So in order to get rid of it off your farm, you have to transport it. Right?
Yes.
So that kind of goes in hand.
Well, that's a class four business would be you own a trucking company that delivers cannabis. If it's incidental to it, they don't have to operate Bass River to transport it from
right.
from a grow to off-site. So.
So, Chris, the ordinance that the town passed doesn't mandate that you have to give a retail license.
No, it doesn't. The ordinance the ordinance enables one retail license, but there's still that's license. A licensing
right.
ordinance is different than a zoning ordinance.
Right.
So if you as a board and the commissioners decide they don't want to allow any retail dispensaries, it's within your purview
okay.
to do so.
Okay.
What could happen is someone could come in with an application for a use variance because it's not permitted, but they'd have to convince this board
yeah.
to grant the approval. That's the
yeah, way. I read that carefully, but I couldn't remember the exact topic. But because we are agricultural, I have no problem with any agricultural application. And then. The processing, the post-processing, which is a separate license that any grower would have to have, would be also something that wouldn't draw traffic. And then, of course, the transport of it as this car is coming through. That and you know, I don't even notice. I mean, how they fill up Walmart with all that, with all the stuff they move here. I just go on Route 9. I never see the big trucks. Where is it at?
Come over East Greenbush.
They come down your road?
Yeah.
What time of day?
So once we decide that we don't want to have it, then we can do an ordinance and put it in the master plan that we left out before. Right.
I don't know if you have to put it in your master plan. You could.
No.
The governing body can do an ordinance. This board can look at it and make comments that it would be a first reading.
Yeah.
It would come before the board for comments. Then there would be a second reading. That would be an ordinance, which would put it into the zoning ordinance.
From what I've heard tonight, you're looking at considering the class one cultivation. I'm not sure if you want the processing class two or not.
Just because the odor is
You don't have to. You don't have to allow the class two. It's the class one and class three go together. Class two, if you don't allow the processing, it just means they can grow it here, but they got to ship it off site to process it outside of Bass River.
I don't think the current licenses of people that are doing it now have a processing.
No, they're just agriculture.
They're just agriculture and then shipping the raw product.
Right.
Once the plants are grown, they do process it. They cut the flower off, and it's either in a separate building or right there.
And one thing I don't know is the Pine Lands Commission's position regarding processing in some of the ag zones. They're ag districts. I don't know if they're, because it's almost a lot, it's considered a quasi-industrial type use, and it doesn't necessarily lend to agriculture. So there's that issue. If you don't allow the processing, you're not going to have any problems with Pine Lands with the processing. But I mean, that's one approach you can take if you want.
We'll deal with that with zoning.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the original discussion before the school was sold to another group, we looked at we were discussing that, and said that debt could be replaced. Well, that was a discussion from before times.
So what we're going to need is an ordinance stating, well, we'll take a vote, obviously, but that we don't want
retail,
class five retail in town.
Right.
We are allowing the class one. We have two of those licenses already out, correct?
Correct.
And then it would go, am I correct, Mr. Little? It would then go before the commissioners?
You're just going to make a recommendation.
It's
got to go through the commissioners and the township attorney to prepare an ordinance that would be reviewed again by the board before it goes to final meeting.
I mean, I think I have the feeling of the board. I can send an email to Joanne O'Connor, township list. She can. This is what the planning board said, and she can take it from there.
So you're just going to do class one and class three.
Class one
is cultivation, and class three is wholesaling, so they can move the product
off site.
Is there any specific zones? Just the ag zones, or
does anybody?
Well, everywhere is an ag zone.
We can put it in all the zones. If they have a big enough lot.
As it stands, as we stand now, and then that's the other question. If we could allow more producers relatively easily, as many as you decide. You may want to hold it to just the two existing ones, or we could have four. You know, you could set it up that way. But we're making use of our natural resources.
Can we leave it at two now and see how it works before we go to four, or any more?
Of course.
and then vote on it afterwards.
You know, so you're saying you want to stop at 2 at the moment?
At the moment, and see how it works and see what, you know, if there's any problems, and then go on from there.
I forget the enabling ordinance for the license. Was that capped at 4 grow facilities?
I don't recall.
I can't remember if it was 2 or 4.
I don't have.
If it was 2, then you don't have. You can just leave it as is.
I didn't bring it. I had it last time.
Can we check on that first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 2 that are there now, I spoke
about. Right. So, is there any zone you don't want to have the agriculture one? I mean,
yeah, next door to me.
Like the R1 residential. R1 residential is offshore Mass. I mean, do you want them growing cannabis in the backyards? I mean,
well,
I don't know.
They pretty much grow indoors, so they'd have to have a building.
Right. No windows.
There's
grow lights. The exit light is not red.
That.
It's green.
It's not worth it for them to try and grow outside.
You know what's typical with a grow facility is minimum lot size and minimum distance from a residential zone area. That those are common conditions.
Well, that would make that.
What is that minimum distance?
Do
you know, Chris?
Oh, it's whatever you want it to be.
We gotta make it up.
You can decide if it's. I've seen it as small as 200 feet. I've seen 1,000 feet.
I mean, when you think about it, we put regulations on somebody putting a pole barn in their backyard. So, what difference would that building make? They would have to fall under regulations as well.
Yeah.
The setbacks.
Right.
The other thing is contacting homeowners with a certain amount of feet.
All that's true.
So it
depends on what we want to use as feet. 1,000 feet? 2,000 feet?
Well, didn't the gentleman that lives on from Hillside, didn't he say that he had to notify the surrounding people? But he couldn't remember how many feet it was, and that was required by the state.
Well, I know that he didn't notify whatever feet it was. He did not notify some of the people within 50 feet, let alone 200.
Wow.
That I can tell you.
With both of them.
And that was required by the state. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Both growers did not notify everybody that was even adjacent to their property.
The one on East Mill Road, I don't think he's got anybody close by to him.
One of the other things.
But if my property is next to his, he still has to notify me.
Right.
Yeah.
And he failed to do that.
That could, well, they, he could be subject to license revocation by the state.
Okay.
If he didn't comply with the state standards.
The
other thing is just look at the lot size. 500 feet. What's that, 3 houses for me? Me? Yeah. And the other house on either side? Were you kidding me? I got nobody across the street. It's all woods. Mm-hmm. Got to be more than that.
So
rural. We have a lot of property.
What's our minimum?
On
9,
the house is a little bit closer, but
breakfast. Adds a little bit. I don't know. That's my question. What is the minimum lot size you want to use? 3.2 or what?
Well, it should be at least 3.2 to make sure that there's enough room to put such a building. And, you know, if you're going to bring a truck in now to take whatever away, you've got to have room to get in and out.
Yeah, so 3.2 is probably your minimum. And then if the town does the ordinance, then those conditions will be in there. Joanne would fill those in for the distance from a residential unit, the minimum lot size,
and distance
any
to
of
notify.
That stuff, distance to notify. She can put all that in the ordinance. The only question, I guess, is once you do the ordinance, any cannabis grower is going to require to come before the board, Chris, for an approval? Or is it going to be, am I issuing zoning permits without anybody knowing what's going on?
I think it could be a site plan because if you got trucks going in and off the site carrying it, you got to make sure that there's safe egress, egress. I mean, like any other site plan.
Yeah, you got to get a fire truck in there, so it's got to be.
So we would make sure that in the ordinance it says any type of facility like this requires a land use board.
Yes.
Or planning board, zoning board approval.
Yeah, typically most towns make it a conditional use, like the distance, the minimum lot size. So it's a conditional use and a site plan.
All Okay. So that would all be in the ordinance that
yep.
the mayor commissioners will prepare and then forward to the board for review.
Yep.
We'll work on
that. Okay. Chris, Rick Steele did say there's five. We're allowed five?
No, that's wrong. Unlimited.
Oh, it's unlimited.
Growers.
So he said we have two, and he'd like to limit it to two, the two we have now for now.
Yeah, I see how it works out.
I think you could, that could be a second ordinance, limiting the number of grow facilities. You could do that. The commissioners could do that.
Okay.
Actually, you could do it within the zoning ordinance. So,
right. Can we have our old pen?
Mm-hmm. Any other things you want to put in or questions you want to ask?
I think this is going to go more than 1 minute. So
for sure.
Well, yeah, it's got to go before the commissioners now. So. And then come back here and then go back to them.
I'm not a commissioner.
What date you go on vacation?
A resident.
I respectfully disagree. I'm allowed to.
Yes, you are.
I only ask when you're going on vacation.
May.
Okay. Any other questions or suggestions that the board wants to make? All right, at this time, I want to open the meeting up to the public. I need a motion to open the
meeting. Motion to open the public. I'll second it.
Bob and Ricky. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all I ask is that you speak loudly and clearly, state your name and your address. Does anybody have anything they want to say? Questions? Yes.
To the engineer, did you say that the properties we grow have to have 3.2 acres?
They were talking about making that the minimum size lot in order to qualify.
That would be in the ordinance.
Along with a distance from, a residential home. I think they'll work all that out.
My suggestion would be to keep it like in Ishmael, where it's out in the woods, where it'd be around any.
I don't think there's a lot of building out there.
Well, they don't need much but the space, You know, it's not a high intensity. Not a lot of people are going to be there.
I think micro is only like 2,500 square feet.
Yeah.
It's not a huge farm. Like, you get a micro license, you're down to, a patch. I mean, 2,500 square feet is not a lot.
You're only allowed 100 square.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Okay. Mature plants and then
nothing. Yeah, so, you're not going to need
so that's not a lot.
For right. micro grow.
For micro, and right. what if somebody wants to go bigger?
Well, their license is for that, but there's a micro license as well as, to go for corn, cornfield stuff.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so if in the zone, let's just say for the forest zone, the minimum requirement is the 5 acres. Now we're saying they can take it down to 3.2? Or do they have to stick with the 5 that is required otherwise?
You can right. set the lot size per zone if you want. I mean, forest zone is 15 acres. The forest zone that's on this map, that's east of the parkway.
It is 15
acres. It is 15 acres.
It's considered for
so that whole area there is a 15 acre minimum lot size to even build a house. So if you can,
75 feet,
I mean, you could limit it to this lot size that's in the particular zone.
Yeah, that'd probably be more palatable to the Pinelands, because the Pinelands is not going to want to waive their 15 acre requirement for a business.
So I would think you whatever the lot size in the zone is, but at under no circumstances less than 3.2 acres.
Yes, okay.
That, you can do it. So if the zone has a maximum more than the 3.2, you have to go with the zone.
Right.
Yeah, that would work.
Yep. Good suggestion.
Mrs. Spitzberger? Yes.
Tom Pittsburgher, 39 Goldbeck Road. I'm going to apologize in the beginning because this is a new topic for me, and I'm a little confused. But I just wanted to ask, you're talking about building to resell the cannabis. Is that correct?
Well, that would be the distribution, if we put in a distribution, but we don't want that at all. We're talking about a building that's growing it, and we do have two of those facilities in town already.
You're just talking about a grow facility where it would be harvested.
Yeah, I was talking about, I thought you were talking about
no retail.
To sell.
Originally, that was part of the discussion, was to have a retail store, right. But we decided we don't want that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we're going to do away with that completely.
Okay, that answers my question then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? Oh, come on. Somebody's got to have a question. No? Yes.
Pam Heinrich, 73 West Road. Has anyone done any research on the problems that occur around a retail facility, like to any of the other ones? I know when you go up the pike and, like, there's a dispensary on the pike, there's never even any cars out. You know, so go ahead and answer me.
Yes, I'm a licensed professional planner by trade, and I've spoken at the League of Municipalities. It's this guest lecture on cannabis and all of this stuff prior to the adoption, or actually right after the adoption. So, yes, I've done research for quite a few number of years now, probably 6-7 years.
So is there, like, a criminal aspect around the retail stores?
There can be, and there are usually extra security. There is extra pickups for cash, and because it is a product that is not permitted by federal operations, it has to be cash sales only. You cannot use credit cards. You're not supposed to, because it is a product that is not legal to sell under federal regulations. So it's... Yes. So there are also instances where they do have a tough time where it is out the parking lot and they have, you're not supposed to consume it there. Mm-hmm. Hence the new push for consumption lounges. There are some challenges with it, and it is just part of the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And you understand that we have decided not to allow retail.
Yeah, but I was just wondering if anybody considered
okay,
that before you considered that.
Yeah, operationally, but I work for a lot of municipalities. The retail stores generally don't have issues. The only thing is a lot of towns have local police forces to keep an eye on things. In a town like Bass River, where you're relying on the state police, if someone's running a cash business, you're a target. Mm-hmm. You're targeted for robberies. And that's always a concern. Now, some towns put in their ordinances a lot of requirements for securities. They got cameras in the parking lots, cameras in the store. There's all kinds of regulation on this. So, there is an effort at the state to try to provide security for the public, but I don't think it really catches the town that doesn't have its local police force. So
they all have guns.
Yeah. Some towns even require that you have to have an armed security guard on site as a condition of approval. So
I just let you know.
You heard, right?
What?
You heard.
It's legal, so.
Okay.
At this point, we're not recommending you. Put that to bed.
Are there any other comments from the public? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Captain Porter, 134 North Maple. I just want to be sure I understand. I understand the number, the classification one for the cannabis. What is the three that we're talking about?
Three is wholesale. Wholesale just means that you're going to sell it to someone else, and they're going to process it. So one and three sort of, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I need a motion to close the meeting to the public.
I'll make a motion.
Rick? Do we have a second?
One second.
The mayor? Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We have new business. Is there anything else that the board would like to discuss at this time?
I
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. What is Bastrager Township doing about its affordable obligation for the fourth round of affordable housing?
For COA?
Yes.
So far, I don't believe there's anything in the housing plan for affordable.
The number assigned to Bass River is 30 units of affordable housing. That's what this, now, how the new process works is that they've assigned a number to communities. It's a throwout number. It makes no sense, and they want you to come negotiate with the state. If you do nothing and do not appeal this by the end of January, that number sticks, and we're stuck with that number for 10 years. Given that we lost employment, the school closed down, we have a tremendous justification for saying we don't have that much growth here. Looking at the zoning map, we're 95% preserved. Where are we putting this?
The last time this came up, we sent them the map, and they said, where would you like us to put it?
That's what you need to do now.
Yeah, that was about 10 years ago we did that.
Logistically, one of the things that protects towns that don't have public water and sewer, which is a prerequisite to building affordable housing, a lot of Pinelands towns have affordable housing quotas under the prior rounds of COA and affordable stuff.
This is brand
stuff.
New and passed. And I'm telling you, Governor Murphy is pushing,
He's pushing.
To allow any property that permits, any zoning district that permits single-family dwelling units, you're going to be allowed to have an accessory or a secondary dwelling.
Oh, the accessory dwelling units. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he's pushing for legislation that says that you got to. I still think, you know, people complain about the Pinelands Commission, but I think they may have a say in this. I don't know yet. We got to see how this. Comes out.
Why are we going to wait for the Pinelands? Why not nip in the bud?
The second thing he's also pushing for is any vacant land must now be approved for affordable housing to meet your obligation. I don't think we have the ability to produce 30 units of affordable housing here. We need to do something and get ahead of the game, because if you don't do anything by the end of January, we're stuck with that number.
Is your concern that the 30 number in past cycles would be illusory because of the lack of water and sewer, but with this new law
that's
may be coming, that it can be implemented by accessory dwelling units, which basically means you can carve out a spot on your lot and build like a little accessory apartment on the property?
That's the new number.
We don't allow that, do we?
Well,
yes.
No, this would be the state would have a law that preempts your zoning. It supersedes the zoning.
This is what Governor Murphy is proposing it. And
yeah.
I'm just being
Chris,
honest about
what is
coming through.
Chris, can we send something out just to...
You need to...
We don't want this.
Well, you need to indicate that you can... If the township does not agree with that number, then you need to send out something that says that you wish to appeal the number, and you need to indicate why you think the number is excessive based on either the 95% Pinelands Preserve, where it's a 30-acre zone, where we can't develop anything. We do not have the critical infrastructure. We do not the lot areas. We've lost employment. And you can also potentially look at the number of dwelling units that have been issued over the last 10 years. They aren't a lot. There are a few... So you can demonstrate that there just aren't a, and my son's looking for property. He can't find property.
Yeah, we went through this exercise 10 years ago.
But you now need to do this.
And maybe send him stuff and never heard back.
You now need to do this again.
Yeah, we need to send something.
Yeah.
You need to do this.
Well, we...
He's got a good point.
Mr. Little's office.
A letter, a note, a
something. We have it writing that we don't approve.
Because if you don't, you're stuck with that 30 units.
What's the deadline? The end of January?
Yeah. Yes, it's, I think, it's either the 30th or the 31st.
What's the number of the, what's the number of the rule you're talking about?
I'm sorry, the number of
the what? Number of the rule of this law, this legislation.
I don't know what the, there are, I just was looking at it today. There's three different legislations. If you go on New Jersey Spotlight News.com, there's three actually three different legislations that come up.
Oh, it's not on the record yet, then?
The new law hasn't passed. It's proposed legislation.
The new law assigning the fourth round number was passed in March of this year after much discussion.
The accessory dwelling unit law, that's proposed legislation.
That's potentially coming.
That's coming.
But the fourth round numbers are now in effect.
Okay.
They were assigned in October, and a municipality has until the end of January 2025 to decide if they want to accept the numbers or not. And if they choose not to accept the number, the state expects you to talk to them about what you believe is a reasonable number based on the considerations in your township. Mr. Little's office has planners that can certainly, if they need additional documentation, put something together very quickly, I'm sure.
Do you think they actually know what we have?
Well, let me ask you, let me make a couple of comments first.
Don't leave me.
They
didn't do anything in regards to...
Excuse me.
In a minute. Hold on. Hold on.
John, just a minute.
So I'm dealing with this in a number of towns, and I'm finding that fighting the number doesn't mean anything. I have towns on the island that have, like, need 65 units. They don't have any place to put it. We did a vacant land inventory in a couple towns. We have zero land
to do it.
But even if it was zero land, they still have the number. So a lot of the towns are just accepting the number, and somebody's got to come in and build. Who's going to build? Who's going to come to Bass River and put an affordable unit in? Once you do that, your land is locked into selling your land in the future for low, moderate income or an affordable unit. If you go to LBI and somebody's got $1 million property, you think they're going to make their house an affordable unit? Because then they're selling it to somebody for $100,000. So, you know, I have some towns that are just sitting in the reeds, not doing a thing. Some towns that are partially in the Pine Lands, like you are, and they're just saying, hey, let them come to get us. But, you know, that's the other thing you do is if you want to accept the number, you could accept it. You have to do a resolution of the governing body. You have to do a declaratory declaration that your attorney has to file with the courts or through the housing thing. And then you have 4 months to update your housing plan if you want to under your master plan. And then decide if you want to seek certification. If you seek certification, that means any building permit you're going to collect a fee for, and you're going to put it in a fund, and you're going to hope that somebody comes here and wants to build a unit that you can help them out by giving them some money. So yeah. I respectfully understand what you're saying, but then, you know, I look at different towns, and, you know, some towns are saying, who's going to come here and build an affordable unit?
You'd be surprised. Who would have thought the school would have gone for what it did? My advice is based on the states and discussions with different personnel in state, they've explained that, well, this was just a number. We expect the municipalities not to accept this number. That has been made clear. They don't expect you to, they want you to do something for affordable housing. But they just gave a number of 30 units. Do you think that it is reasonable to have 30 new housing units?
No.
Where would you even put them? There's no place to put them.
And that's what I'm trying to say as graciously as I can.
There is no place.
What I would suggest is if you do not believe it is realistic to have 30 units of new affordable housing put here in the township, and I have nothing against affordable housing. I qualified for it, didn't know it, worked a fifth job so I could get a down payment and all that for my first place. I didn't know that. I had no clue. I had nothing against affordable housing. But it's 30 additional units of housing that, frankly, can we environmentally sustain? And if you believe that that's inappropriate, then now is your time to say something. And if you don't say something by January 31st, you're stuck with that number for 10 years. And then the number will only continue to grow as development pressure mounts.
My boss is affordable housing council for about eight, nine towns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to him tomorrow about this. And if there's an action plan, something we need to file to raise the issue so that we're not locked in, we can do that.
Do you have my cell phone number?
No,
we're going
to
collect
that. Give that to me after the meeting.
Yeah. I researched the new law once it was passed and had to do a summary of it.
I have heard about the accessory dwelling unit.
Yeah, no, I researched what was passed into law, the legislation.
If somebody comes in for an accessory structure, they're going to be before this board, I believe, because I don't know if you can have two.
I think it will be a permitted. I think it would be a permitted use in any zone.
Become a challenge is
if somebody does put an affordable unit on their lot, and I think their lot is going to be restricted, that they can only use it for affordable.
Yes. Well, there's a disincentive to that because it's one thing to be build an accessory dwelling unit that you can maybe flip later on versus something with a 30-year deed restriction.
Audit and the annual, you're supposed to, in order to do this appropriately, you're supposed to conduct an audit of every single property that's designated and listed as affordable housing. You're supposed to do an analysis and an inventory of each person's income to make sure that they still qualify under the standards. It's never done. It's never followed through with. It's just one of those things. So if you believe that we can accommodate 30 units, don't do anything. If you don't believe, I would strongly urge you to file an appeal of that.
Okay. The big question is, 38 units. Who's going to come in here? In other words, you're saying we can't afford to put 38 units out. We don't even have enough building permits in a year for
500. Okay. If somebody comes in and you are not compliant and you don't, and we don't agree with that number, but we didn't do anything, and they want to come in and say, well, now I need all this density.
Yeah,
and they're going to take over the vacant commercial lot just south of Jobes Creek, 138 acres. Where are they putting it?
Right there.
And I know for a fact that there was a change for more highway commercial property up Route 9 that is there. And this is what is coming.
But with our not having city sewer, wouldn't that have...
Yeah, that makes it difficult.
Not having city sewer, you can't put in a 30
it's not
apartment building.
And I will tell you...
They do have time
on their own septic system.
Environmental conditions are being sacrificed for affordable housing.
That's exactly right.
It's what it is happening.
How are they going to get those bus stops?
Yeah, proactive.
It's just, this is what's out there. I read the legislation when it was passed last March. I had to do a summary of it. I looked at it. It is what's on the books. It's what's coming after it that will make it difficult. And if you do not believe that the 30 units is something that we can live with, they expect the municipalities to negotiate.
But Barbara, I'll get your cell. I'll talk it over with Mr. Platt, and then maybe we'll have a call with you and maybe with Rick, and we can go over what course of action.
Yeah, I just have 2 meetings in the morning. So
okay.
But time is in the essence on this, too. Whether we have the property, no matter where the property may be or whether they can or they can't, why would we just put the appeal in now regardless?
Yes.
I don't think it hurts to do that.
Yes, sir.
I agree with Orlando.
To be safe.
Right.
Yeah. My famous saying in one municipality was, let's just not get sued this week. And it served me very well.
My first job was working for small claims court in Mount Holly. And I dealt with affordable housing and landlord tenant for eviction. I've seen in Mount Laurel where they put, you talk about 30 units, they'll take that corner lot that this gentleman's talking about here, put a used car lot on, and put 30 units on that. They'll do it. That's affordable housing. And you got 30 units on the corner. They have units across from Costco up in Mount Laurel, Moorestown, on the corner, right there's 50 units.
But they all have city water and sewer.
Yeah, it's a big
matter.
Distinction.
It doesn't matter.
You got to remember, north of East Greenbush Road, there's big acreage over there. Big acreage. A lot of property for that to happen.
A lot of it's wetlands.
But they'll do something to make it work.
Yeah. We'll prioritize it.
They do it. I agree.
Thank
with
you.
Her. You should put it down to zero. You have nothing.
Do we vote on that, or we just
no?
We go through the governing body.
Yes.
We'll know more tomorrow.
I agree.
Is there anything else to come before the board tonight? I would ask that the new board members, first of all, welcome. We're glad to have you. Please don't leave when the board adjourns. Natalie,
you need to sign your oath.
And Natalie's going to need some information from you. If there is nothing else, I need a motion to adjourn the board.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. Have a good evening.
All right.